Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
We've been in a series in Timothy, and we're going to take a small break to focus on the resurrection, focus on the triumphal entry today, followed by the resurrection next week before we get back into 1 Timothy. But I want to start this morning by reading the passage in Luke chapter 19 of the triumphal entry, just so that we can kind of have that understanding of what we're really diving into. So let's look in verse 28 in Luke chapter 19. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them. "As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying that colt?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you." Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. May we see the truth. May we understand. May we not miss the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who gave himself so that we might be forgiven. Not an earthly king, not one that would reign on a throne here in this place, but God, one that would reign in heaven and who would reign over our hearts. Lord, may we understand that today in Jesus' name, amen. So there's moments in life where something really important happens and you miss it, right? Maybe you've had that happen in your life where only after did you realize how big the event was that you just missed. Or maybe it was a person that passed by you. You were in the presence of greatness, perhaps. As I was thinking about this, I thought back to my college days. I had the privilege of running. I was pole vaulter for Abilene Christian University, and it was a great time. And Abilene Christian University has an incredible history of success, especially in the pole vault. It was very intimidating for me. We had national champions that were in our history. We had Olympians and even world record holders. And you know all that, but you don't realize kind of the magnitude of it. And then one day at practice, I'll never forget this. One day at practice, there was a guy who was standing out with our coach, and he was just a whatever dude, right? Like he was, you know, losing his hair a little bit, not terribly big. And, you know, he was just talking with our coach. And me and the rest of our teammates were just practicing. And every once in a while, this guy would just offer some suggestions to us. In fact, one time he came over to me and he's like, hey, you know, as you're running down the runway, act like somebody's pulling you up from the back of the neck. And I was like, okay, thanks, man. And, you know, I had no idea who this guy was. I just thought maybe he was a friend of our coaches and he knew pole vault a little bit. And eventually I walked up to the coach while this guy was talking to someone else. And I said, hey, Coach Hood, who is that? And he goes, well, that's Billy Olson. He's, you know, world record holder, former record holder of for the pole vault. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. And at that moment, everything changed. I couldn't talk to him anymore. Right? And everything he said, I was like, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. And it was great. And it did actually help me quite a bit after that moment. But, you know, before you realize it, it's just like a normal thing. And then everything changes when you find out who it really is. And that's similar to this moment in that the Lord of heaven and earth is here, and they only saw him as a temporary king, as a king that would maybe restore them to their own power, right? This crowd who is experiencing this incredible moment, and truly, this is one of the most important moments in human history. I mean, this is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is the entry into what would become the crucifixion. And although these people are celebrating it, they were there, they saw it, they witnessed it. They weren't passive to it. They just didn't understand what the real mission of Jesus was. And if we're not careful, we can do the exact same thing. We can miss Jesus because of our own personal agenda. We see in verse 36, as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glorious in the highest heaven. This is a big moment. This is a powerful moment. And they're putting their cloaks on the road, indicating this is a royal treatment that they're giving for this man. They're singing loud his praises publicly. They are incredibly excited. I mean, this is not fake worship. They are emotional, they're engaged, they're passionate about what is happening. We would say today that revival was breaking out if we saw something like this. But here's the problem. They were right about who he was, but wrong about what he came to do. You can say the right things about Jesus and not truly understand who he is. You can sing the songs, you can show up to church, you can get caught up in the emotional moment of it, and still miss him. And I think there's a lot of people in the church today that is true for. They are playing church, but they are not seeing Jesus for who he really is. They only want a version of Jesus that can give them what they need or what they think they need instead of what they truly need. Right? They were passionate, as we can be passionate. They were loud as we can be loud, but they were just plain wrong, as we can be wrong. So why then? Why did they miss this? How did they miss this? It starts with the fact that their expectations were wrong. They were shouting, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And all of that is true. And of course, we know that now as we reflect back on the truth of Scripture. But the issue was really that filling statement they were making with the wrong meaning. Their category for the King wasn't God's category. Right? When they said King, what they meant was a political power. They meant a national restoration of their people, freedom from the oppression of Rome, and immediate change on their current circumstances. That's what they thought. That's what they were so excited about. They weren't looking for salvation from their own sin. That's where they missed it. They were looking for relief in their own world. So they weren't rejecting directly Jesus. They were just reshaping him to what they had expected him to be. They said, Jesus, you know, we're good with you as long as you fit into what we want, as long as you answer our requests. And what we'll see next Friday as we celebrate and worship at 6 o'clock here is that as Jesus hung on the cross, when it was clear that he wasn't the king that they expected, they abandoned him. It's a subtle difference, but it's incredibly dangerous for us to miss it. If we don't grasp the truth of who Jesus is and why he came, what we believe can feel like faith, but really it's actually control. We are trying to control who Jesus is and what he does for us. And this shows up all over Scripture. I mean, it's constant, the human condition to do this. We see in John chapter 6 that there's this perfect example of Jesus feeds 5,000 people, which is an incredible fulfillment of a need that they had, physical need that they had, right? And then verse 14, it says, when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we have been expecting. And then what do they try to do next? They try to make him a king. They try to make him a king by force because he met their physical needs. He raised the standard of what they were expecting. He made their life better. But when Jesus starts talking about the surrender that needs to happen in order to truly follow him, when he starts talking about the sacrifice and what it looks like to be a true disciple of his, and this is a powerful passage, by the way. If you don't know John chapter 6, I would encourage you, write it down, mark it in your Bible, go back and read it today after service. What happens in this moment is that Jesus calls them to something greater than an immediate fix of their needs. And it changes everything about what they believe in him. Look in verse 66. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12, his closest followers, and asked, are you going to leave? That's the question that we have to face all the time. It's why I want you to go back and read John chapter 6 to see what it truly means to follow Christ, what it looks like to follow him, to understand who he is, right? We like Jesus when he provides everything that we need, right? When he heals our wounds, when he comforts us in the midst of tragedy in our lives, and when he fixes the things that we have messed up along the way. But we really struggle to follow Jesus when he confronts and calls out our sin and the way that we're living. When he calls us to surrender our will to his. When we have to redefine our priorities in life in order to follow him. When that doesn't meet our expectations, that's when we struggle to follow Jesus. And if we're honest, we don't say this out loud, right? Like we're more proper than that. We wouldn't say this out loud, but we do this. We live this out all the time. We say, Jesus, help me to have a life that is more like my neighbor's. Help me to just make a little bit more money. Help me to take away this struggle, Lord. Right? We go to him and we seek him when we need something. And none of those are bad things, right? We are able to, and it's fine to perfectly pray for those things. But when those things become the goal, that's where we've missed it. When that's the goal, we have subtly replaced the great mission of God to save us from our sin to this short-term fix of our current circumstance. And if we're honest, we are all guilty of it. Because we easily get wrapped up in me. And we don't want the pain to happen any longer or the hurt that's happening. We just want it to be fixed. And so we make God only that, our fixer, not the Lord of our lives. See, in Luke chapter 19, these people, this crowd, they didn't want a savior to rescue them from their sin. They wanted a savior from their inconvenience, from their current status. They wanted to be restored back to prominence in their culture. And this short-sightedness caused Jesus great pain. We see that in verse 41. He said, as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. And this, think about it, this is an incredibly powerful moment within the text. The crowd is shouting his praises. They're laying palm branches down in their robes and their garments. They're excited. The city is stirred. And Jesus is weeping because the people of this great city, they had truly missed what he came to truly bring, which was peace. He isn't angry at them. He's broken for them. He's broken for all of us that would miss this. They're so close to understanding the truth of who he is, but yet so far away from the proper understanding. And some of us in this room, some of you are in that place right now. You're around Jesus. You're hearing the truth on a regular basis. You're maybe even interested in what he has to offer, but you haven't truly surrendered. And Jesus doesn't look at you with frustration. He looks at you with compassion. Verse 42 of chapter 19 shows exactly that as Jesus says something incredible. He says, "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace." That's what he wants for us. Still today. It's a powerful moment in scripture where God has shown up on the scene in life. He has given us a way for us to know that forgiveness that our soul longs for. He came from heaven to earth and they didn't recognize him. And the world today still doesn't recognize him. We limit Jesus to this box of what we think he ought to do for us. If you let that sink in, right? That's unfortunately how a lot of us go through life, is that we say, okay, we've got Jesus and we're going to carry him around in this tiny little box. And that weakens who he really is. That cheapens who he really is, right? These people who are on the road, they saw the miracles firsthand of what Jesus did. They heard the teaching from his own lips. And they watched him closely with their own eyes, and yet they missed him. So how much easier would it be for us to do the same today? We can grow up in church. We can know the Bible stories. We can attend Easter services. We can do all of the things and still miss Jesus if we're not careful. So don't miss this. Being near Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus. And I don't want to move too quickly past that statement, because when you take it really a minute to consider what I just said, if you let it sink in, you'll realize that some of the people on the road, right, they were close to Jesus. They were curious about Jesus. They were maybe even excited about some of the great things that he was doing, but they had not surrendered. And for us in this room, a lot of us, some of us have not surrendered. And we don't miss Jesus because we're unintelligent. We can say all of the things that we need to say. We miss Jesus because our hearts are not open to his lordship yet. And be sure of this, Jesus sees what sometimes we don't see, right? He sees the weight of the sin that we minimize. He sees the eternity that we ignore and the peace that we think that we have, but don't. So I want to make this just as clear as I possibly can. The reason that Jesus came was not to simply make your life better. Jesus came to save you from your sin, the thing that separates you from a holy God. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. All of us. All of us have had our sins separate us from God, and we cannot fix that on our own. That's why Jesus came, so that we might have that bridge to the Father. He lived a life that we could not live. He died the death that we deserved. And his sacrifice paid the price for our sin fully and completely. And on the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant that that debt has been paid for. Your sin debt and my sin debt. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that he had power over it all, proving that sin was defeated, that death was defeated, and that salvation is available through him alone. So the question is not, do you believe in Jesus? The question is, have you surrendered your life to him? Have you said, "I'm going to lay myself down so that I might follow him"? Because you could admire him, you can agree with him, you can even celebrate him every once in a while and still miss him. So today I want us to no longer miss him, not to be like the confused crowd, not redefining Jesus to our current circumstances, or to keep him at a distance because it's easier that way. Instead, today, I want to challenge you to turn from your sin, to trust in Jesus as your Savior, to humbly surrender your life to him. If that's you in here, don't let pride keep you from making that most important step. Come talk to me. Come talk to one of our elders after the service and just make that confession. Admit where you have tried to control and conform Jesus to your agenda instead of allowing your life to be laid out for his. This is what he calls us to. This is what he desires. So don't leave too quickly. Don't be in a hurry to get to the next thing today. But instead, run to him. Bow your knee. Here's what I want us to do for our next steps today. Every week, I give a head, heart, and hands next step, something for us to think about, to understand, something for us to become passionate about, to lay our heart upon, and then something for us to physically do. For our head this week, what I want us to understand is that Jesus is not who we imagine him to be. He is who Scripture reveals him to be. And so we need to understand that the greatest problem of my life is not my circumstances, it's my sin. It's such a deeper understanding than whatever the moment that you're in is about. Jesus came to deal with your sin, not just improve your situation. And that should affect your heart. That should make a change within you, right? You need to really ask yourself, where have I been reshaping Jesus to fit into my life? And change our heart to say, do I actually want Jesus or just what he can do for me? That's what we need to look at in our hearts today. Am I truly surrendered or am I just interested? And then with our hands, here's what I want us to do. Physically, this is what you have to do. Surrender your life to Jesus today. If you've never done that, don't let another moment go by without talking to someone. Repent honestly. Name your sin before God and repent from it. Turn from it. Don't just feel bad about it. Turn from it and take a visible next step in your faith, whether it's coming to talk to me or one of our elders, or maybe it's that step of baptism that you know you've needed to take. Whatever it is, begin following Jesus intentionally. And listen, if you're one of those people that's praise the Lord, you have done all of this. Our responsibility as a disciple of Christ is to find those who are on that journey just a little behind us and bring them with us, to show them what it looks like to be a Christ follower with your whole life. And so in this Easter season, as we go through this week, this holy week, don't miss Jesus for all of the other things that are going on, or because we're trying to reshape him into something that he never claimed to be. Instead, this week, embrace the Savior he is of our whole life and our heart and our soul. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you have come, that you have died, and that you rose again to beat sin, to beat death, to provide a way for us to be with you again, to be reunited with you, to become a part of your eternal family. And Lord, I pray that for those in this room who maybe to this point have never realized who you really are, God, that you would help them to truly see that. God, that you would give them the boldness to stand and say, I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ, to find forgiveness for my sins, and to turn and walk in new life. God, whoever that might be in this room, Father, I pray that you would speak to them so clearly, so loudly, that they would know it's from you, that they couldn't take another step without fully bowing their knee before you. Lord, for those in this room who know you, who are surrendered to you, I pray, God, that you would help us to have greater opportunity to share our faith with the world around us, to pour into others as you have called us to show them what it means to truly be a Christ follower. Give us that opportunity this day, we pray, Lord, in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.